I'd like to call the March 5th meeting of the Candia Planning Board to order. Please all join us, rise, and pledge allegiance to the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. I'm not even going to bother. We're not taking many votes tonight.
There she is.
Hey, Linda.
Sorry.
Happens.
Hey, you can be late with something in your hand like that. That's cool.
That's probably her dinner.
No, yeah. These were Fluffy Wally, my omelet.
What kind this time?
They're
snickerdoodles.
Yeah, snickerdoodles.
Oh, yeah.
Gluten-free.
Yeah.
All right, we'll do the roll call, and then I'm diving in. Judy.
Here.
Mark is excused. Tim, here. Brian.
Here.
Scott.
Not
Linda.
Nope.
Yes, here.
And Kevin.
Present.
All right, fire me over a snickerdoodle.
Like a frisbee?
Yeah, just chuck it. There we go.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're still warm.
Thank you.
No way.
Yeah.
Gluten-free snickerdoodle.
By my fingers?
I don't mind
they're clean.
Oh, they're warm.
Yeah.
Oh. That's why I'm on the planning board. Thank you.
Okay. I can see the AI minutes now. The chairman said, please fire over a snickerdoodle. And the board discussed cookies warm for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Warm for a bit.
All you can hear is a chewing.
Mm. Okay.
Wow.
So,
got cold milk? You have cold milk?
Oh, I know. I wish I brought it. I only have lactose free.
Oh, my God.
Like
oh, these are great. Okay, go ahead,
so,
dear.
Yep, we have no new business. Old business, DAR Builders, Crowley Road, Tanglewood. Is still scheduled for March 19th. We have no updates there, so we're still assuming it's March 19th. AV Development, the Diamond Hill Road, that at the last minute was continued now to the 19th?
4-2.
4-2, correct. I'm sorry. Yeah, 4-2. Mm-hmm. Yep. They have produced a updated set of plans, but we did not have time to review them or have Stantec review them. So that is that continuance. Thus endeth the old business. So we'll just go down the agenda. The next thing on the agenda is the unapproved meeting minutes of February 25th. I don't know if anybody's got any comments. I read it and had nothing.
Good.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
Second.
There we go.
2-1.
Judy.
Yes.
Tim, yes. Brian.
Yes.
Linda.
Yes.
And Kevin.
Yes.
All right. So now on to town planning. And I had really hoped to get this emailed out to you guys yesterday, but these things don't always work out the way we plan. So what I just kind of wanted to do, again, Kevin, you can do the countdown for 7.
Yeah, Kevin.
You can give me the 2-minute warning.
I'm up to it.
And I just thought I printed these off in color because I highlighted some interesting things and the text in blue. Well, you know, I think it's out of order.
I don't have any of that.
You don't. You are correct.
We got handed out before your arrival.
We got handed out. And
my horse is chiropractic. Ran a little late.
Yeah, take Scott's because I thought I put it on your thing.
I didn't see anything on the top. That stuff I brought.
Okay, we'll just take Scott's. He's not.
Yep.
He's obviously not showing up. So, I mean, the reason the first page is on here is that's where lighting starts.
Mm-hmm.
But there, you know, I just want to start kind of busting through these things. And if you read through the lighting section, it doesn't differentiate between commercial and residential at all. And I mean, I don't have any problem with people providing a residential lighting plan if they've got any lighting at all. But, you know, I think number three is the key thing. The proposed lighting shall meet the following criteria: poles and fixtures shall be proportionate to building space. You know, lighting shall not trespass on adjacent properties. Blah, 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 parking lot, sidewalks. But it doesn't give anything to the fact that I think we should add some verbiage that residential lighting should be kept to the minimum. It, you know, I don't know what we say or how we say it, but I think that's what we in town would want.
So it's more about...
This is more about building, commercial.
Yeah. The building itself, meaning the house, would be really the only thing that would be lit.
Right, just normal house lighting, right?
But you might have a post on the driveway.
Yeah, because we always end up giving a waiver or just discussing it when somebody...
Right, mm-hmm. but again, we all are aware that people will sit there and say this board gave out three waivers.
Right.
And we gave out waivers to reduce lighting. You know, none of it was anything bad, but they'll say they gave out three waivers. So if we can make the regulations more closely match what we really want in town, I think we're better off. And that's all I'm saying here. I think we need to either create
a separate category for commercial.
Commercial and residential lighting spec.
Yeah, I think that would be easier.
Yeah, that would be easy. Otherwise, it's every... line that you're saying,
commercial.
Except in whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Or we just put, you know, A, B, C, D like they are and then make an E that says, you know, something to the effect of, you know, residential developments, lighting must be kept to a minimum while ensuring safety, or, you know, create some little subcategory like that.
That's nebulous. Still,
yeah, exactly. Because it could say, oh, well, it's dark, we need streetlights.
Yeah, but they want it dark.
But not everybody coming up from Massachusetts or New York want it dark.
But see, then we could say no. But then we, you know.
I don't care about that.
But then we could say no streetlights, and we're not giving a waiver.
Right. I would rather allude to the fact that it's an item for discussion or something to that nature, as opposed to putting restrictions on residential. Because then you're dealing with, they may not want it.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. You know, something to the effect of, you know, residential, you know, subdivision lighting should be, you know, in character with the surrounding properties at the discretion of the planning board. Or
you have to be real careful of the wording. So,
and that's why we're not going to write this tonight. Right, this is.
Well, the third sentence right here, parking lot service, that's clearly commercial.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be right there. That's one that would be under the commercial. So just kind of picking it apart.
I think everything that's there is commercial.
Correct.
Right? Everything that's there is commercial.
But well, it doesn't say commercial.
No, it does not.
Well, the soft lighting of the building exterior will be permitted provided the light source is not visible and that it can complement the architecture. That's basically, that could be a house.
Yeah, but I don't see people wanting to light their house up that way.
But they could, because they might have a really cool house along this road and they like certain lights.
So or they're just ostentatious as hell.
I mean, some people highlight their gardens. So is that going to be, you know, something they have to put a permit for? You know, how you have your solar lights and you highlight your front gardens.
So I don't get in trouble. I won't say where the house is, but there's a house I drive by all the time that must have 100 of those solar lawn lights, right?
I mean,
the entire property is awash.
Yeah.
With the you know.
It's a fortress.
Yeah.
But is it disturbing to the neighbors?
Right.
Right. No, again, I completely understand. So that's
There's got to be a way to work this out.
Right. Yeah. I'm not looking to tell people, oh, sorry, you know, you can't leave your garage doors open and you can't have more than 100-watt light bulb.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't want to go there, and your house has to be painted white or antique yellow, or we're not going there.
I'd rather go with what you were suggesting, something to the fact that, you know, in character with rural Candia, you know, for residential.
And then leave it to us to decide whether that meets it or not.
Us and the applicant, because if we don't require them to have any light, but they may want to have a few lights, if it's not intrusive and it's within character, then okay.
And that the verbiage is flexible enough that you don't have to have waivers,
correct,
but it's just common sense.
Correct.
Right.
So it's more of a discussion and agreement.
Common sense? What are you thinking, Judy?
I have hope.
Until the godfather moves in and has a security zone with lighting and things, which we'll get visits and we'll give him waivers.
Yeah, but he's going to have probably 50 acres that he's living on, so he's not going to live.
His driveway is going to be
like,
a mile
exactly,
long. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
You won't know it's there. Like, well, John Travolta's
and they have a guy with guns at the end
house.
Of it. So.
I think what we could do to that effect is, you know, up here that's talking about lighting spillover and, you know, so on and so forth, we could refer back to, and any lighting in a residential district must comply with, you know, section 2 dot whatever, right? No spillover. But
like
I think saying in character, I think saying within character with the neighborhood would prevent that.
Right.
We could add that as an extra little nail, but I think that would prevent it. Because, you know, what I'm really trying to do is prevent waivers.
Right, because as it stands now, they have to put in a waiver every time.
Every freaking time.
Right.
So according to C and D, that's highlighted, how does one determine that it's reduced to a maximum 0.1 horizontal and vertical foot candles? Like, who does that?
That's, I think, specs of the
lighting. Yeah, the lighting specs indicate that when they have electricians do the lighting.
Yeah. Because they all have cutoff lights now to prevent light pollution, as it's inappropriately
called.
Right,
they have different heads on them and stuff that focuses the light down it's rather than illuminates it everywhere.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I think less is more. I mean, we want to differentiate between commercial and residential, but I would rather stay away from trying to define what we want in residential and leave it up to a discussion when they're coming in.
Right.
Because it still wouldn't require a waiver. It's just agreed upon by both bodies.
Because also from my perspective, a development on High Street would have, in my personal view, a higher tolerance for me to allow more lighting than Diamond Hill or, you know, something like that that's on a, you know, New Boston Road or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want, like, any lighting there. Just, that's kind of my take. So I think that. So I can work on some.
I just think, kind of looking at this whole thing on, like, E is all signage, flashing signs, architect. That's all.
It's all commercial.
Commercial.
Right.
So what pieces do we have as residential? And kind of pulling it out, but making it so much of this is all commercial.
There is absolutely nothing in here that is, let's see if I can still get to this shit. I might not have saved it. Damn it. We do have it. There is, crap, I left my book at home. The entire ordinance does not differentiate. There is no residential section. It's all intertwined.
Right.
And there's only like a few spots about a few different little things about commercial. Even the driveway and parking specs are not residential.
Right.
So,
What do other towns do?
That's
what's
going to be my question.
Because we don't have much commercial. We have more residential coming into the town. So do they differentiate? Do they have two different categories?
And I don't know the answer to that. And you know, that's where we are going to get StanTech to look at this in more depth with the HOP grant money.
Because if we're filtering out what is residential with all of the ordinances compared to commercial or bigger developments on our, what are the main things, rows that we have? Like we've got 43 and 27.
Arterial
roads, right. That would kind of be that exception because you probably would want to have a little bit more lighting.
Right. That's why.
But I just kind of think, you know, I'm just thinking, you know, to try to weed through this as a residential and then having a whole big discussion, that's a waste of time.
Right, and I'm sure other towns have covered this.
Yeah.
I wonder what they've done.
Yeah, so that,
and if we're already going to siphon through all of our ordinances and pick out commercial and residential, this is just a part of it. Let's kind of do that.
Yeah, so that's part of the reason I want to go through this exercise. We don't necessarily have to write anything because this is this is part of HOP Grant 2, which it just dawned on me. We'll loop back to HOP Grant 2. I might have to go to 705. Okay. You know, and remember I told StanTech at a few of the meetings that I wanted them to go through this and, you know, pick up the low-hanging fruit and stuff. And he said, well, look, you know, what are you looking for? And I think that's kind of what I want to do is give the exercise and you know, say these are things we want to change. And hopefully, you know, Dan can pull up, he's got Auburn and a few other towns around us where he's got their ordinances. He works with them so we can maybe pick something up from them.
Yeah.
But I agree. I see, hopefully under HOP grant, we can split and have a commercial industrial section of this and a residential section of this, right? But what I want us to do is think about it. And, you know, I'm going to collect the thoughts and create some verbiage so when we do hand it off to StanTech, we've given them some guidance rather than, you know, here, just do what you think is right. I don't think it's a smart move, right? And so actually that plays in well to the next section. Let's go to page 19 in section D. Landscaping area should be provided along the perimeter of all parking areas except where the parking area is functionally integrated with an adjoining parking area. You know that landscaping should be at a minimum of 4 feet, shall be planted with grass, mulch, shrubs, and shall include at least one deciduous tree and not less than 2 inch in caliper, blah, 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 blah. Well, it doesn't differentiate what is a parking area. Is that a parking lot? Or is that 4 parking spots in front of your house?
Well, this also
that
says
is a parking area.
But the heading is commercial industrial architectural design standards. Purpose and intent.
No.
Oh, there's a cut and paste. I'm not sure where
I think you might have a disorder because I didn't copy the page in front of that.
Okay. So that's.
So this is under
803 standards because I have 803.
This is 805
four,
screening.
Yeah, it goes from page 15 to page 18 to page 19.
Right.
So
I have page 13 here just for my old notes.
Yeah.
So standards and requirements for site development. Okay, that's just that you.
Yeah.
The
so
heading
in the,
confused me.
Yeah, in this thing, if you go to page 19, right, 805 is screening.
Yeah.
And it also so. I get concerned with that because we don't differentiate. Again, that's not a residential spec.
Right, this is all commercial.
It's all commercial.
Right.
And you look at section E on noise, and it says no person shall emit a noise beyond the boundary of his or her property levels, staying within exceptionally, you know, commercial zones, industrial 62, commercial 55, residential 55 day, 45 night. But the problem with that is that if you're running your chainsaw at the edge of your property or your lawnmower or shooting in your backyard, you may be over those numbers.
But when Mike was the chief, I asked him about shooting. He said, there's no noise ordinance in Candia.
I understand that, and I agree with that. So that's what I'm saying here in this section. My notes were either delete this for residential, or because when it comes to us looking at a subdivision, right, it's going to be a subdivision of houses. You're not going to have any, you've got to assume nothing more than the normal, the developers are going to come in and say there's going to be nothing more than the normal housing noises, right?
Except during construction.
Except during construction, right. And it says down here somewhere, you know, that you know, during construction between 7A and 6P is exempt. So I can see
that can be confusing. So if somebody has a home business that would create noise between 9 and 5, they would have to get a special permit for that.
Yeah, except for if you read the home business regulations, you can't really have any home business that makes noise.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah.
So people that sell wood for their, as their, you know, supplemental or whatever, and they're cutting it all up.
They're not going to be in a development.
Yeah.
No, I would hope not.
It's a big difference with development and somebody on 3 to 10 acres.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I point these out as little inconsistency things that we need to think about. Certainly that landscaping around parking area is something that needs to be addressed because it doesn't say parking lot.
Right.
It says parking area. And, you know, I don't think they're, I think I cut them off because it doesn't really matter, but it also talks about if, you know, per so many parking spaces you have to have a tree planted and green areas and stuff, and again that's commercial
and that's still troubling, right? I think of there's so many difficult pieces of land here where part of the finished product might be riprap down a steep hill to a paved area. They're like, why would you put trees there? Like you can't put grass there. Like, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
To me.
Yeah. So my thing here was this screening, you know, should not apply to residential area with, you know, planning board approval or whatever, or just say will not apply. This is up to the planning board, you know. Because it's stuff like that, that again, if someone ever challenged it, we'd have to give a waiver to.
Right. I mean, we always have that discussion about screening an area on a development anyway. So yeah. I think just like you said, just distinguishing that this is for commercial development doesn't apply to residential. It leaves the door open for the discussion when we are talking about residential, but that doesn't require a waiver.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If we
right.
verbiage in there that doesn't require a waiver, that makes correct. It a discussion point for residential.
Correct.
Is what needs to happen. Because technically, they need to screen the parking area in front of the garage.
Yeah.
Right? Also, on page 18 there, I will allow you to read the blue highlighted area on the top, because I think that is something that we will be looking at in the near future for things.
That's usually dealt with when the road agent and the police chief review an application too,
yeah,
for driveways and whatnot.
But I'm just saying we can cite that. Bingo. I'm not saying we edited.
All right,
okay. I'm just saying. I just wanted to point that out to people who hadn't read that little section there. And then the only other one I put on there, just because it came up in Diamond Hill, is that the fire protection stuff from, you know, the 30,000 gallon cistern made of fiberglass. It sounds like, from what I can tell from the applicant and in talking with Dan Tatum, that's probably overkill. And that should be more moderate in scope.
So that you can just eliminate fiberglass and just say cistern.
Yeah, but and does it need to be, I mean, you know, does it need to be 30,000 gallons? I don't know the answer to that either.
Yeah, does it depend on how many houses you have?
Right. I mean, that just seems like an arbitrary number. We're just going to put a number down on the page, right?
You know, if you put two houses, three houses, you need 30,000, but houses.
But there's
13.
Another waiver.
Exactly.
Right.
So the question is, like, when the fire truck goes to a house fire, they get 5,000 gallons on board, right? The only way that a cistern would be required is if there was a wildfire or something like that, right? Is that why they're there?
No, they typically set up a pond, and they have trucks that are shoveling all the time to fill their reserve. I mean, they would never just show up with a truck and not have the pool set up to fill.
But like Dean said, if we show up at a fire with 5,000 gallons, if we pump 200 into a house, it's going to be totaled. Like, the insurance is going to tear it down anyway.
Right.
So,
yeah, that's probably true.
If we pump 5,000 gallons in it, it's
certainly wrecked.
It's going to be equally totaled.
Because when I was a kid growing up, we called our fire department in my little town the cellar savers.
Right.
Because their entire, whenever there was a fire in town, the last line was, and they saved the surrounding buildings.
Right. Right.
But that happens with all of the fire departments. By the time they get there, it's flashed over, and it's the way it is.
So should we ask the fire chief, do we need a 30,000-gallon cistern requirement in town?
Right.
Like, in California? Absolutely, right? I don't know if wildfires happen here. I don't know that.
But in a 6, 7, 8 house subdivision, do we need 30,000 gallons?
Right.
Right.
Or do you rate it by how many houses that are there? Because we might come up with more than a 9. You know, it's like,
right.
Do we need 5,000 per house, 2,000 per house?
We can't answer that.
Yeah,
no,
we can't answer that, but I'm just saying.
The fire chief might be able to say per house, what they...
Right, but that's why I wanted to bring this up. These are the exact points that
they're
we need to be thinking
yeah.
about, right? And we need to get answers to before we do a redo of the regulations.
If it's somebody put it in there because some other town has it, and they said, "Oh, that's a good idea. Let's throw it in." It's adding a huge amount of cost for no real value, right? It's a regulation that has no merit, but it's burdensome for people that are developing.
Well, the advantage, and I know Dean in the past, is that anytime they can have a cistern put in, it helps. Because it's not necessarily for that particular development, but it's a water source that is close in the area.
Yeah.
Right, for any
and that's,
wildfires.
And that's why they like cisterns.
Yeah.
Right. It's like a water source, just like that over there.
Yeah.
But there's got to be a way to measure 30,000. I mean, who's to say you don't need 100,000 or, you know, 10,000?
Well, I think 100,000, they would probably think that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean, that is definitely overkill.
I'm just starting up another number. I'm just saying there's got to be a formula.
Calculation, yeah.
I'm not saying our regulation's wrong.
Right.
At all.
What we don't know.
Right. I'm just saying that's something I think we need to.
Are we going OT?
We're going a little OT.
Okay. How many minutes?
I just got one other little thing to note here, and then I'll tell you about. I'd say make it. Yeah, 7:05 at the latest.
Okay, I'll give you 5 more minutes.
All right. So the other one on page 18 that I found kind of interesting on screening. Existing vegetation will not satisfy the requirements for providing vegetative screening between proposed development and residential districts.
Why? It should come.
That was exactly my thing. It's like, So we're going to make them cut down the trees and plant new ones?
Right. What if it's 100 yards through the forest to the next house? It's like, you got to put trees in front of the forest?
Yeah, I read that.
I don't want trees. I want to be able to mow that.
But I read that and I was like,
yeah, that's,
well, it's not clear on any measure.
That don't make no sense at all.
No. X that one right out.
Because maybe you could read into it, okay, so you have grass in your front lawn. That's not going to count as the buffer between. You know, it's like, let's make this clear.
And if we stick to that, I guarantee you, like, Faulkners would be happy as hell, right? You know, because they'd be, we'd be cutting down trees and they'd be
planting trees.
So that was just another one in scanning through this. I said, bring that up to show that that's another one we got to jettison. All right, so that was the entire exercise.
But that was good that you looked through and pointed those out.
Yeah, like I said, the whole idea is thought process, so we can direct StanTech, so we're not sitting there with our bold faces hanging out. So now I forgot all about it this afternoon, and I should have had Amy send it out. It's still not completed yet. I had a couple of edits, but the Cam Prohlman got to us yesterday. I think it was the HOP grant plan that he had put in place, the scoping, and I'm not going to go through details, but starting March of 25, the Southern Hampshire Planning and StanTech will review zoning ordinances and then the regulations, and then provide a summary report of detailed findings about our regulations. And I asked him to put in there, he just talks about, you know, barriers to development and inconsistencies and so on. I've asked him to put in there that, you know, that they're in conformity with the town master plan. Because I also didn't want them to come back in with a bunch of stuff that doesn't fit in with the town master plan. Mm-hmm. Right? And Dan Tatum seconded that. Okay, so they will, you know, deliver a summary report, and that total, and that is scheduled to go through September with a total cost of $15,000 for both organizations. Then they'll do an initial build-out analysis with our existing ordinances, and then they will use the amendments and changes that are being proposed as possible changes and what they'll affect on the build-out. And that is to be done through July of 26. Community engagement will start May of 25 and go through July of 26, and they're going to do educational workshops and 6 meetings with the HOP committee, and gather all the information and public input like they did the last time. And then by January of 26, they will be developing starting in January 26, they'll be developing all the final changes to zoning and regulations and the like.
How much was that grant for?
50.
Okay. And I know that on the last one, we kind of got caught by surprise because there was really no billing and accounting that got done against that money until, like, the end.
The last minute.
And Rudy was like, well, wait a second. How are we doing that now?
Well, we have a little different situation now in that the last time it was just Southern Hampshire Planning. Cam Prohlman really kind of didn't actively manage it very well and just kind of said at the end, here's a $25,000 bill.
Yeah.
So we're going to be, and now we get StanTech involved, who we all know StanTech is going to want to bill as often as possible. And so when we get a StanTech bill, I will be saying to Southern Hampshire Planning, where's your bill? Where's your statement of work?
Right.
So.
His alarm.
That's the plan. All right? And so we'll get a final draft of that and then get it either in packets if we're going to have a meeting or get it out. But those are my only edits on it. I think other than that, it was pretty good.
Yeah. Great.
right. Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
There we go. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed?